Let us pray. Father, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Good morning, and can I begin by thanking Malcolm for his invitation and each of you for your welcome. It's really good to be here. I think this is the first time in 2.5 years that I've been to worship at St Mary's, so it's really, really good to be with you. On Monday of this week, a new exhibition opened at the Church of St James in Clapham in South London, entitled Hope, a Community Exhibition. It brings together photographs and artwork from local residents, schools, and a professional photographer called Jim Grover, which seek to express hope in all kinds of different ways. There are pictures of wildlife, newborn babies, sports crowds, homeless people, a rainbow, and many more. The exhibition is open to the public, and as people wander around looking at the pictures, they see images of hope. They get free refreshments as they reflect on what they see. And the response to this exhibition has been phenomenal, as comments in the visitor's book indicate. I quote, "Brilliant exhibition. Thank you for sharing so much hope, especially at a time like this." Or another one, "Thanks for putting on. We all need hope at this crazy time." We all need hope at this crazy time. When I sent my choice of reading and theme to Malcolm about a month ago, little did I anticipate that it would be so relevant on this particular Sunday. Yes, the coronavirus was rampant in China at that time, but China seemed so far away. Yes, there'd been some serious flooding in the north and the west of the UK, but as the Environment Agency has said, with climate change, that's just something we're going to have to get used to. Yes, the Diocese of Chelmsford is having to face up to some serious financial and sustainability issues, but we're working on it steadily, and there's time to address these complex matters if we all work together. But somehow, just in this past week, things seem to have escalated. The virus has shut down much of Europe, with an ever-increasing number of infections and deaths. The stock markets around the world have been in free fall, flights have been cancelled, holidays abandoned, and on our doorstep, sports fixtures have been postponed, elections delayed by our empty supermarket shelves and overloaded store cupboards. What's going on? What's going on? As that visitor to St James Clapham said, we all need hope in this crazy time. So how do we respond as Christians, both within ourselves and in those sometimes uncomfortable moments when others express their anger at us, about a faith and a God who can allow such tragedy, pain, and suffering to happen? What has the gospel of Jesus Christ to say when everything around us seems to be falling apart? So it is that into this maelstrom of bewilderment and confusion come those perhaps all too simple words of St. Paul, which we heard in our New Testament reading this morning. Hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, to offer teaching and encouragement in preparation for his visit to them. He spent the first 4 chapters of his letter setting out the foundation of their salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 5, he encourages the Romans to stand firm in their faith and begins to unpack what this will mean for the grace-filled living of their discipleship. He writes this: "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us." So let me briefly highlight three things which come out of this short passage. First, suffering is a given. Suffering is a given. By speaking of suffering, St. Paul underlines the fact that Christians are not immune to it, somehow protected from the pains of being human. Rather, they are as fragile and vulnerable as anybody else. But they are to recognize that their suffering is held within the love of a God who himself knows what it is to suffer, and by whose grace they may be enabled to persevere with it. And not only persevere with it, but grow through it, deepening faith, trust, confidence, and hope in the one who suffers with them. Suffering is a given. Secondly, our hope is sure. Our hope is sure because of what Jesus Christ has already done. The cross and resurrection is the proof of God's love for the world, a love that's greater and more enduring than any horror or tragedy which the world can throw at us. As St. Paul has laid out already in those first four chapters of Romans, at the cross, the victory has been won. At the cross, sin has been defeated. At the cross, evil has been overcome, and our eternal future is made secure. This is the truth that helps us to face suffering and pain in a completely different way to those who have no faith in Jesus Christ. For by God's grace, the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with the knowledge of God's love and frees us to see the future in a different light. One of the most influential books I read when I was training to be ordained was by the German theologian Jürgen Moltmann. It was called Theology of Hope and was written in the 60s. In those years, that decade of the Cold War, student riots, the Vietnam conflict. What Moltmann was encouraging his readers to believe, and including me, was that hope was not something we can conjure up from within or amongst ourselves, some kind of false optimism that blinds us to the terror of what's around us, but that doesn't really take it away. No, that kind of conjured up hope is not Christian hope. Rather, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, coming towards us, if you like, because this is God's intention, this is God's desire, this is the coming of the kingdom, and this is the victory which Jesus has already won for us on the cross. Yes, Christ's kingdom has yet to come in its fullness, and he invites us, his followers, to go on working with him to bring it to fruition. But as it says in the first two verses of Romans chapter 5, since we have been, note, have been, not will be, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice, not we will rejoice, we rejoice now in the hope of the glory of God. It is about the future, yes, but it's about the present as well. The hope of the glory of God is ours already. That hope is sure, and it's coming to us from God, even in the midst of our suffering. Suffering is a given, our hope is sure, and thirdly, our future is secure. Our future is secure. Here on earth, we have a foretaste of what is to come through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to look at life with all its tragedies, coronavirus, flooding, financial challenge in the world and in the church, from a different perspective. We are not immune to pain ourselves, nor untouched by the suffering of others. But by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are able at the very deepest level to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose grace we stand. And it is as we stand, witnessing to suffering, yes, but as witnesses also to the coming and glorious victory of Jesus Christ, that unlike those pictures in a South London exhibition, beneficial as those are, we become ourselves living images of hope. It may be in seemingly small and insignificant ways, but the manner in which you and I face the crisis of coronavirus, the manner in which we care for our neighbours who need deliveries of food or medicine, the manner in which we bear the disappointment of cancelled holidays, celebrations and events, the manner in which we support one another and pray for one another and for our emergency services, the manner in which we work together, not least through the Hope Centre here at St Mary's, all of these things will testify to whether or not we are people who believe in those timeless words of St. Paul. Hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. Suffering is a given. Our hope is sure. Our future is secure. As we look around us with all that's going on, we can be tempted to think it's words, all just words. But Paul's experience, the Romans' experience, and the experience of countless followers of Jesus Christ since the beginnings of the church has been, as one person has put it, that the believer's hope for the future is based not only on a faithful and powerful God, but in what they have already experienced and received from that God. The hope of future glory is based on the experience of grace already enjoyed. None of this takes away the horror and fear of what we face at this time. But it does encourage us to reflect on where we have found that grace in the past, and to go on working by the power of the Spirit for the fullness of God's kingdom here on earth, because we know by faith that the glory that shall be revealed and in which we shall share is the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why we can proclaim to an aching nation, to an aching world, the uniquely Christian perspective that hope does not disappoint us, and that whatever plague or tragedies may occur, the love of God and his ultimate desire for our good can never be blotted out. So, encourage one another with these words. Let us pray. Father, thank you that in a world of despair, you are our hope. In a world of darkness, you are our light. In a world of sorrow, you are our joy. Make us images of hope. Help us to share the hope of our hearts with one another. Enable us to offer hope to others through your work amongst us. And use us to transform and serve our community, that with our Christian sisters and brothers, we may spread your hope to every corner of this nation and every corner of your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.